make you laugh. I'll make you cry. I'll put a steel hook through the juice in your eye. I need more ears, so get off your rears. Captain Daddy, tell all of your peers. The nurse bots wheeled my bed through the ship's corridors. They were happy to tell me they were programmed for physical therapy, and to what that would entail would be that during sex, they were not allowed to provide the locomotive efforts sex bots are renowned for. Or rather, my physical therapy, I would have to be on top, in other various positions, to strengthen my atrophied legs and build up my core. I'll take one for the team, I said to myself. They giggled, and told me that between the two of them, I'd be surprised at how well-rounded a workout I could receive. They had this nursing thing down, I thought. Approaching my door, the nurses waved for it to open, but it stayed closed. Then the door slid open on its own, it seemed. Though, on the other side, it was F-200. 2-2. Just the man I came to see. Heard you were just given medical leave. I wanted to tell you how glad I am to see you safe and in one piece, he said, with a wry smile. I have good news also. He flashed a key in his hand. Let's get that handcuff off. I didn't like F-200, but it was hard not to smile getting that obstructive manacle removed. He unlocked the cuff. There, he said. I rubbed the irritated skin, like I was trying to massage air into it. He stood back, still in my room. I waited. He said, that's not the only surprise, 2-2. Can't have you chained up all alone. That's not humane. Well, I have the nurse bots, I said. He shook his head sadly. No, I'm afraid you'd be held in lockdown, in your quarters. The nurse bots gripped my arm from either side, not wanting to let me go. F-200 nodded, and two other guards stepped in behind the nurses. Well, shit, I said. That's no fun. I rolled out of the hospital cot and stood on the ground. My legs felt weak and uncoordinated. My balance was off. That's not great. I really, really needed that physical therapy. I raised my bed and fell into my comfort. Sleep was required. I clapped my hands twice and the lights went dark. The next few days I spent watching old documentaries. I had just finished an ocean special about the blanket octopus. Though there were many things I found interesting, like this particular variety does not live on the ocean floor like most others of its kind. This octopus lives in the top of the water column, and it has an adaptation that looks like a thin blanket of flesh that it does not camouflage, but instead using it to make itself look bigger. Scientists also think the blanket can be torn away as a defensive maneuver. But get this, the creature is so rare, it's not been observed doing so. It's just divers that have found detached blankets. Couple more quick things that are pretty strange about this creature. Like that it's impervious to the stings of the Portuguese man-o-war, so it can harvest the stinger tendrils from the jellyfish unhurt and carry them in its octopus tentacles. Then in case of an attack, it can sting its opponents. But wait, there's a little more. Like its brain is wrapped around its esophagus. Neat. Yes, and the part we've been waiting for, the mating practices. The male, being on average 2.4 centimeters, not his dick, his whole entire self. His dick is much smaller in proportion. I wouldn't want to be the biologist trying to measure that with a micrometer. The female, 2 meters, 6'6"-ish. Now, if you aren't following along here, that's a very surprising difference in size. like a difference of up to 40,000 to 1. That would be like dating a person the size of a medium chicken egg. The male, having an arm dedicated as a sperm packet delivery system, swims into the female's mantle cavity. That's not what they called it where I came from. He, ripping his proverbial dick tentacle off, sticks it to the female. This injury ultimately killing the male. His dick tentacle continues its journey, propelling itself to the sperm pod collection area, somewhere inside the head or something like that. But it's not alone. There are already dick tentacles of other tiny suitors. When feeling pleasantly full, the female reaches inside of her head and squeezes the chosen dick tentacle sperm pods onto her eggs for fertilization. Eeny, meeny, miny, woe. I know, right? The ocean, one of the oldest places of evolution, millions and millions of years, which would lead the male of this species to become a micro-cocked masochist, and the female, the true patriarch of its species. Those little guys got butt-fucked on that deal. Doctor knocked at the door. There was a small red light that had been installed above my door that turned green. The doc entered with two nurse bots and a small leather medical bag. The nurse bots were all smiles to see me. The door closed behind them. When Doc said, "Tutu, you're looking good, buddy. Show me those legs." I told him I forgot my space knickers. He wrinkled his brow. "I'm a doctor, Tutu. And the girls have given you 200 sponge baths. They know your taint better than you do, I bet." I blushed. Okay. I'll get my dick out." The nurses smiled, rather unprofessionally. I ripped off my pants. The doctor approached, kneeling in front of me. "It's incredible," he said, almost into my penis, like it was a microphone. He was running his hands all over my legs, then examining his work. "You don't know how close you were to a double amputation," he said. He was so close I could feel his breath on my genitals. I stood there, waiting for the inspection to finish. "Doc, we good?" I asked. "We good," he said. "We very good." He was standing up now, and undeniably staring at my cock. Something caught his eye. "Hey, what is that?" he pointed. I started to ask. He looked up with a smile on his face, pointing at me. "Gotcha again, Tutu. That's twice. You're not very good at this game, are you?" He stepped back and looked at me, in a shirt and no pants. I bent to pull my pants up. "No, stop," he said. "We're gonna need a sperm sample." "For what?" I asked. "Well, Tutu," he stepped over to me and put an arm around my shoulders. We were standing side to side, like he was going to show me something. He spun his finger in the air, the nurse bots stripping into naughty nurse negligee. They started to fluff me from in front and behind. He said, "Tutu, I can't have my best work walking around his room aimlessly with overfull pipes. They have you locked in here tighter than a jam jar," he said. "It's the doctor's orders." I, being sucked into a semi in the front, while another bot cupped my balls from behind, playing my butt like a trumpet with her mouth. I said, "Okay, but would you mind taking a few steps away?" He pulled his arm from my shoulder. "I'm a doctor. Do you think this medical procedure is for my benefit?" He stepped about 6 feet in front of me and continued to watch. He was saying, as they worked me over, "The nurse bots have a new update that allow them to analyze bodily fluids through 3 of their orifices, which saves a lot of time in the long run. It also makes a collection more of a personal experience for the patient." He He was watching the fellatio being performed out of medical curiosity. He said it's pretty new stuff. We're still playing with it. For example, the one with your penis in her mouth did an oral stool sample on the way here. Doc, I stopped. Is this another joke? He nodded his head. No. Why would I joke about a nurse's capabilities? I tapped them on their heads. Switch, I said. The nurse bots switched positions. Doc, can you shut up for a minute? I'm trying to come here, I said. He nodded, zipping his mouth with an invisible zipper and locking it, and then swallowing the key. But he just stood there and stared. I scrunched my eyes closed. I could feel the warm tingle edging closer. They were very effective collection devices. I came. In front of me, the two sex bots stood and faced each other, the receiver kissing the other, spilling half my load into her waiting mouth. Doctor said, yes, that's a great idea, ladies. We can double check the sample, twice the data, twice the fun. I opened my eyes. Doc's pants were around his ankles, dick in his hand. He was yanking on his old meat. He was pulling up his pants, said, I'm a doctor. Watching you work with my nurse bots is inspiring. Yes, you are a doctor, I said, but you just jerked off on my floor. You could have asked for a plate or something. Disgusting, he said. A plate? The doctor looked down to the spent load on the floor, and then to the topless attending nurse bots. They both nodding their heads no, taking a step backwards, away from him. I looked at him. Hey, no, leave them out of this. He frowned. It wouldn't be a viable specimen anyhow. It's contaminated now. He nodded his head. Tutu, great to see you. He fastened his pants. And walking towards the door, the ladies covering their negligee with white lab coats, as they walked towards the dock, he pointed to the floor, so they knew to walk around his spot. The light turned green, and he walked out. Back tomorrow, he said. For now, I bid you adieu. I synthesized a small rug and threw it like a square floppy frisbee. It landed right on the spot. Out of sight, out of mind. Time for a little docu-binge. Captain Daddy is not conducted in front of a live human audience. It is written and recorded in a room full of one. That shit about the octopussy? That's actually true. Poor little guys. Remember to subscribe, rate, and tell a friend. Captain Daddy. The doctor looked down to the spent load on the floor. And then, collection devices. I came. In front of me, the two sex bots stood and faced each other.